जयो गिरिवारदारे, जयो गिरिवारदारे। जयो गिरिवारदारे, जयो गिरिवारदारे। यशोदनन्दन व्रज जन रंजन, यशोदनन्दन व्रज जन रंजन, यशोदनन्दन व्रज जन रंजन। यशोदनन्दन व्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तेरा वनचारे, यमुना तेरा वनचारे। जयो राधा माधव, जयो कुंज बिहारी। जयो राधा माधव, जयो कुंज बिहारी। Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Panchatattva jayo panchatattva 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 jayo pancha Nisimhare 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 jayo jayo Nisimhare Jayo Prabhupada Shri Shri Radha Madhava Sasaki Ki Jai Pancha Tattva Ki Jai Shri Nisimhadev Bhagavan Ki Jai Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivajakacharya Ashotara Ashota Shishimadesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Ashotara Parivajakacharya Ashotara Ashota Shishimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Ki Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Prem Sikhako Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shiva Sadi Gora Guru Bhaktavrinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyamakund Radha Kund Giri Govardhana Ki Jai Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Shri Mayapur Dham Ki Jai Shri Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai Ganga Maya Munamaya Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Tulsi Devi Ki Jai Shri Harinam Sankitan Ki Jai Brihad Midanga Ki Jai Samaveta Bhaktavrinda Ki Jai All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gora. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya So, today is the second day. We don't have a verse. We just discuss about glories of Lord Nisimhadev. Tomorrow is the last part and the final, and we have a great celebration tomorrow. So, it's not easy to prepare a class with such a subject well known to all devotees. I mean, if there is some of important leelas we have to know, that's the Narsimhadev leela. And at the same time, repeating Narsimhadev leela again and again brings a lot of benefits to all of us. And we need to remind ourselves also about importance of that lila and importance of that lila in our lives. And that's why there is no harm to hear the same things again and again, and that's why please don't mind if many informations that you hear in this today's class, it's already well known to you. Still, we have a lot of benefit. So, First of all, I just want to offer my prayers. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishna Buddha Shimati Jai Pataka Swami Dinami Namo Charya Padani Tai Kripa Pradayane Gore Kata Damodaya Nagaram Antarne Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishna Buddha Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gore Vani Pacharya Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashtatya Desha Tarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shiva Sadi Gore Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Shri Nisimhadev Bhagavan ki jai, Prahlad Maharaj ki jai. So, today, first, we're going to start with some historical aspects of Nrisimhalila, about what's really happened and how is some little bit less known details. We're going to repeat, and then after that, I just want to touch the few subjects why Nrisimhalila particularly is important for our lives, us as devotees. Yes, Prabhu. Sorry. Closer. Okay. Is this better? Is it okay? And there is one aspect of Nrisimhalila which is very important for all devotees, and that's aspect of devotion of Prahlad Maharaj. The amazing thing about Prahlad Maharaj is that Prahlad Maharaj could see the Krishna everywhere. He could feel the presence of Krishna everywhere. He never felt a fear. And this is something which is actually very high level of devotion, and something that all of us could take as example and go further. So on the second part of the class, we're going to touch a little bit actually how that happened, how Prahlad Maharaj got on such a high level, and what we can do to go towards there. I don't know if we can achieve that, but at least to go towards there, and what are the steps to achieve such a level. So first of all, everything started, the whole Nrisimhalila started much before, when the four Kumaras went to Vaikuntha Loka and they wanted to see Vishnu. And as all of you know, they cross the six gates. They come to the final, the seventh gate, where Jaya Vijaya was protecting. They're standing all the time there. And somehow the Jaya Vijaya, they could not recognize four Kumaras as a divine, a special personalities, the pure devotees, and they offend them. In one class, Radhan Maharaj mentioned, actually, when they came, they just saw the children there standing, you know, and they were without clothes, so they were thinking, what is this? Some four boys, they want to see Supreme Personality. We should not allow that. Like sometime, you know, we have a class and we have some small kids, so we ask, can you please move kids out? They're a little bit disturbance, you know. They don't have some serious questions. They cannot understand the high philosophy. So somehow, Jaya Vijaya also was like, okay, they want to see, you know, Lord Vishnu. No. So basically they offend four Kumaras, and four Kumaras, they curse them. And it's very important, the first lesson we have to learn is when the Lord Vishnu came to the whole scene. Actually, Lord Vishnu, he knew what is happening, and he came in the right moment. Basically, the main reason why he came was to protect Jaya Vijaya, because four Kumaras was very, very powerful sages. They already developed a very high level of devotion. They were very special, so their curse is not something that cannot harm. It was really serious thing to do, and Jaya Vijaya was under direct protection of the Lord Vishnu because they were performing service for Lord Vishnu. And basically, Lord Vishnu was kind of their master. Right, so Lord Vishnu show up and he was saying, okay, my dear four Kumaras, those two servants of mine, Jaya Vijaya, they commit mistake, and I should receive the consequences of that mistake, such a mistake. I am their master. You should punish me instead of them. And of course, they didn't agree to that, but the point that we have to learn was that spiritual master is being affected of whatever his disciples are doing. And that's why when we take a vow to be a disciple of anybody, we should also take responsibility to be careful how we behave and where and in which way we behave, because that will directly affect a spiritual master, the spiritual master itself. So in this case, Lord Vishnu even proposed that they can cut his two arms or four there, you know, just to close the curse. But when he was approaching closer, they could feel the sense of his lotus feet. And there is explanation that there was a smell of tulsi leaves out of lotus feet. And then four kumaras, they became really completely in trance, and they entered the level of pure devotion. And then that curse, they turned into something little bit less dangerous for Jaya and Jaya. So they said, you can choose. Either you can go to have six lives as devotees in material world, or you go there and have three lives as a demon, great demons in material world. And because they heard about material world is not some place that you want to stay for a long time. It's something actually that it's very avoidable. So they said, okay, three lives sounds much like double better than six lives. So let's go for three lives. And so it was there. Basically, you know, the Lord Vishnu saved them to got a little bit less of punishment for the serious mistake they commit towards Kumaras. And this is when everything started, as all of you know. Now, so the first lesson is actually that we have to be very careful how to behave. Srila Prabhupada, he gave the whole class, 1972, about this particular topic. And he was saying that actually any of our, whatever we do, that directly has influence to our spiritual master also. So if we do something nice, if we do something good, if we are God conscious, how Srila Prabhupada said, then all glories will go to the spiritual master. At the same time, if we are doing some nonsense, if you are breaking principles or talking the bogus philosophy or doing any different kind of offense, people will not think that we are doing nonsense. People will immediately think about our spiritual master, and they will ask, who is his spiritual master? And they will have a very bad feelings about that spiritual master. So that's why we are having a great responsibility. Just being disciple is not that we are alone anymore. We are actually we should be very responsible for our task. So anyway, Kashyapa Muni and Ditimata, Kashyapa Muni was very, very great sage at that time. And he was always performing some yagyas. He was a very special person. But somehow the way, that's a second lesson we have to learn from Narasimha Lila, is actually the way how they gave a birth, how they did the whole yagya towards having the children, you know, was not perfectly done. And there is explanation that Kashyapa Muni from beginning, because they didn't do the whole ritual of chanting and meditating and everything, Diti Mataji at that time was quite impatient, that she wanted to have children. And you know, Kashyapa Muni from beginning, he knew that actually the children that she's having in her womb are probably demons. They're not devotees, because the way how they did the whole thing was not ideal. So even if some devotees are trying to have children, it's not enough that we are devotees. It's not enough that we just chant and everything. We should do the properly, you know, the rituals. We should do the properly things. And there is actually the big, great benefit out of following all those regulations. So finally, the time came that Diti Mataji has to deliver. And in that time, the Kashyapa Muni, there is interesting thing, how, for example, how Hiranyakashipu got the name, Hiranyakashipu. Who knows that story? How Hiranyakashipu got the name Hiranyakashipu? It's quite interesting. It's amazing. Actually, it's very auspicious for him also. So Hiranyakashipu was just born, and in that time Kashyapa Muni was performing. There was a place called Pushkar, and Kashyapa Muni, he was performing a big yagya at that time. One part of that yagya is Ashwamedha yagya, and Ashwamedha yagya is actually a specific kind of yagya where you put the five thrones on five different corners during the yagya, and each throne is made of different elements. And one of those five thrones are actually made of gold. This is like the most shiny throne, the most special throne, is the highest throne. And the name of that throne is Hiranyakashipu. So when the baby came during the yagya, and that baby immediately climbed to that throne and just sit there. And then Kashyapa Muni, he said, okay, since my baby climbed with the throne name Hiranyakashipu, I'm going to give her name Hiranyakashipu Jai. So this is how, according to one understanding, again, Radhan Maharaj was explaining that in details, this is how Hiranyakashipu got the name Hiranyakashipu, according to the throne of the Ashwamedha Yagya, one of the five thrones. Hiranyakashipu was a very great scholar. He knew Vedas quite well. I mean, just by being delivered in such a family of very respected devotees at that time, he was from beginning in the schools, and he knew everything. But only one thing what was not right with him was actually his demoniac nature. His brother Hiranyaksha also, the same thing happened to him. So actually the first kind of murder happened in the family was when Varahadev killed Hiranyaksha. And you all know that story, so I don't want to go deeper in that. We have more topics to cover. But when Varahadev killed Hiranyaksha, when the earth, all three worlds, they enter in Garbhodaya ocean, Hiranyakashipu became very angry. They were saying that Hiranyakashipu was so angry that he was tightening his lip up to the blood started coming out. And then he could not stand that. But at the same time, when they were performing rituals for Hiranyaksha, you know, he was telling everybody, he was specifying his family that they should not cry to there, that everything is very auspicious, that actually we are not this body. He was telling, reciting so many different verses from Vedas, that everybody was like, wow, such a great boy, such a nice personality. And you know, everybody became so calm and peaceful. But at the same time, although he was making the whole family peaceful, he was not peaceful himself. So soon as the performance finished, he went aside, he called Rakshasas and telling, okay, we are starting now. You have to go all around to all three worlds. We have to conquer everything. You know, we have to conquer Indra. We should go to Indra Loka. We have to conquer the whole world. We have to finish this. And I will find Vishnu personally. And since Hiranyaksha, he loved one thing. Hiranyaksha's favorite food was a blood. He loves to drink blood. So Hiranyakashipu was saying, I will personally kill Vishnu. And I'm going to take his blood and I'm going to drink it in the glory of my brother Hiranyaksha. So Rakshasas went to conquer the world. Hiranyakashipu went to find Vishnu. And this is how everything started. Hiranyakashipu, he knew that he cannot conquer Vishnu, he cannot defeat Vishnu or any other demigods or anything without performing a yagyas. So as you all know, the Hiranyakashipu, he was performing a very, very serious, very sincere, very serious yagyas. He went on the big mountain, and then as I know, he was standing on the top of his toes, right? And for 100,000 years, that was a Satya Yuga, so it was 100 years at that time. He was just standing on the top of his toes with hands raised, and his view was towards the sky. And he didn't eat anything. he didn't move at all. And they were saying after some time, a big mystical flame started coming out of his head, which was even visible to the higher planets. And demigods started really to be concerned about him getting so many powers that finally they approached Brahma and they were asking, can you please come? And let's see what this sage is doing and why he's doing, because he's getting a lot of powers. So they finally went down there and they asked, Brahma asked Hiranyakashipu for the purpose of his performance, for the purpose for his tapasya. And Hiranyakashipu was asking him for benefit that, you know, it's not possible to be killed. So I will not go again deeper into that because all of you know. But what is very interesting thing is what is happening later, that actually he's getting as a son, Prahlad Maharaj. Now, Prahlad Maharaj, he was the one who actually, even when he was still in the womb of his mother, he heard a lot about Lord Krishna, about his glory. So when his mother was delivering him, he was already pure devotee. And he could see Krishna everywhere. And the most important thing, he never felt a fear. This is something very important for us as devotees to learn how not to feel a fear at all and how to see Krishna and everywhere. Everywhere we turn, everything what we do, everything what we see is actually Krishna. And Prahlad Maharaj is a perfect example that level is doable, it's possible, and this is something that we have to go towards. So first of all, even for Hiranyakashipu was amazing that after so many times he tried to kill Prahlad Maharaj. He tried with many different ways. Finally we try with poison, they give him poison, and Prahlad Maharaj was happy to accept the poison from his father. Basically what he did first, he offered to Krishna. And then he drank it and nothing happened to him. And Hiranyakashipu in one moment is asking Prahlad Maharaj, how you're doing this? How I cannot kill you? What is your secret? Because Hiranyakashipu was somebody who had a lot of experience in tapasyas. And basically he knew all different yagyas. He knew all different kind of tapasyas and which kind of benefit they're bringing. But he never didn't saw such a specific situation. He could see his old, very young son, 5-year-old son, that nobody can kill, and he didn't even perform any tapasya. He was just a simple boy who was attending the school at that time. And he was curious what is his secret. And then Prahlad Maharaj was explaining to him that actually the Krishna is everywhere, and he could see Krishna everywhere. And the famous Lila happened when Hiranyakashipu became so angry that he was asking, is Narasimhadev in this pillar and everything? But I will go back from there and stop. There is the moment that Prahlad Maharaj's determination that Krishna is everywhere. What is the source of that determination in his heart? Now, regarding us, let's be honest. At least from my point of view, I'm trying, but I don't see Krishna everywhere. I'm trying, but I still have a lot of senses. I mean, my senses, I still have a lot of desires and everything, and it's very hard to see Krishna and to remember Krishna all the time. So, for just the regular people, you know, living around us in the world, for the regular, how we call, kami people, for them, most of them, they believe in some kind of God. When you ask Christian who is a God, they will not give a clear answer. They know who was a Jesus Christ, but when you ask, okay, but who is the God? Is it like old man with a beard, or it's some energy, or is, you can get a kind of different answers, you know? And then they know it's some power, it's some force that you have to believe that exists, but you can't see it really. Now, if you ask some other religion, or if you ask atheists, they will tell you, I don't see Krishna, I cannot see Krishna, therefore Krishna doesn't exist. Krishna is not there. I believe my senses. So, Prahlad Maharaj was on the level, that he could see Krishna everywhere. And it was true. Srila Prabhupada said that actually the Krishna is not invisible. Krishna is very much visible and he is everywhere around us. And we are actually the one who is supposed to be cured to be able to see Krishna. Now there is a very scientific explanation in Shastras how we can get that cure, how we can get that purity that Prahlad Maharaj was, and what are the levels. So I will a little bit touch on that. The first level that was explained that one devotee has to go through is a Shraddha, a faith. When we get in touch with devotees, and you know, I can see quite a few devotees, they just stop on that level. It's very hard to have faith. It's very hard to believe that whatever we read, whatever we do, whatever we perform, it has a great benefit for us and will give us only good. So sometimes we are trying to change the process. Sometimes we are trying to invent something new. We're trying to figure out what is the better way to perform. Maybe that's what Srila Prabhupada was doing in the 60s is not for 2000 and I don't know. There is no other way. You know, sometimes only Shraddha is the one who is coming down and we start not believing in absolutely everything. So the point is, once we develop Shraddha, and the way how we develop Shraddha is Guru Sadhu Shastra. Actually, we have to read every day, we have to chant every day, we have to perform the rituals every day, and on the end I will tell you one very interesting story about that Srila Prabhupada said, but that comes a little bit later. So, after we develop a certain Shraddha doesn't mean that we believe in absolutely everything. Shraddha means that we have a faith that everything is right. That everything what we read, everything what we perform has a great benefit for us. That's a Shraddha. The next level after Shraddha is that we have to understand that we are the one who are sick. It's not that Krishna is around hiding from us. No, Prabhupada said one moment, you know, the closest explanation of our sickness is one material sickness whose name is cataract. You know cataract? When you have problem with eyes become a different color. Basically, you cannot see everything. We are blind. So Srila Prabhupada saying, this is the closest explanation why we cannot see Krishna. Because we have a disease, we have a problem. And that cataract is actually, we have a kind of spiritual kind of cataract that actually our eyes, spiritual eyes, are closed and we are not able to see Krishna, although he is everywhere around us. Now, the way how we can get rid of that disease, how we can cure that disease is the first, we have to understand the Lord's name, fame and pastimes. Again and again, we have to read about Lord glories, about the pastimes, about the fame, about performance, about how he was killing demons, about how he came in Navadvip Dham, how he gave a lot of benefit just bringing Maha Mantra with him. All these things we have to read again and again. We have to remind ourselves again and again. This is like same like medicine. If you have disease, you go to the doctor and he gives you certain medicine that you have to apply regularly, 3 times a day for 7 days. Okay. So whoever is serious, who wants to get cure, he needs to take it 3 times a day for 7 days and he get a cure. So the same thing is in the spiritual practice. You know, we have to receive the medicine on a regular basis, and our medicine is again, you know, hearing glories of Lord Krishna again and again. So the next thing after we cure ourselves, there is explanation that our eyes get clear, but we still cannot see Krishna. We can see things more clearly. We can see things around through the eyes of Shastras, through the eyes of instructions of the Guru, but it's still very hard to see the Krishna. For that, Srila Prabhupada said we need a special makeup. He was actually that class, it was very hard for him to. He was asking his disciples, you know, kajal, putting kajal. And then he said, yeah, Prabhupada, making makeup. No, he's telling it's more than that. It's makeup, but it's like beautiful makeup. So we need to put on our eyes actually a special ingredient, a special makeup, which name is love. Love for Krishna. To be able to deliver a love for Krishna, we need to use that knowledge that we gain after we gain Shraddha and to start performing a devotional service for Krishna. It's very hard for those who doesn't perform a devotional service for Krishna to develop love for Krishna. It's basically not possible. We need to perform a devotional service and then our eyes start getting that special makeup that we can see a Lord. And then Lord is showing in front of us. Then we can see His form, He can see His beauty, He can feel His smell. We can see everything. Without that, we just stay on the level of knowledge, of jnana. But with devotional service, that's why Prabhupada was expressing it again and again, that our process is not just receiving. It's not that we have to, I don't know, come to Mayapur, stay in Mayapur, and just hear and hear and hear and hear and hear. It's nice, it's great, it has a lot of benefit. But second part of the process is that we have to share the knowledge. We have to share the knowledge with those who didn't get such a mercy that we are. We have to preach. We have to do certain devotional service for Krishna. And the best, because we are the Sankirtan movement, and Sankirtan Yagya is the highest Yagya, is actually to share our knowledge. Of course, there are different kinds of devotional services. You can do service for deities, you can do service for devotees, care for devotees, and so many other stuff. But we need to be engaged in the service. Now, there is that story that I promise you that when they ask Srila Prabhupada, why we have to repeat the same things again and again and again every single day, and can we skip some day? Because we already know all that. You know, it's, you know, after 20, 30, 40, 50 years of Krishna consciousness, you believe that you already hear everything, that you already know everything, and it's very hard to do that again and again every single day. And then Srila Prabhupada is telling a story about the boy who was in the school, and he was, you know, average student. One day he came back from the school and his father was asking him, okay, my dear son, how was in the school? And he was saying, oh, my father, it was great. It was fantastic. So he said, anything happened? You had any test? He said, yeah, we had one test. So he said, so? How you did? And he was saying, oh, I did great, fantastic. He said, and you knew everything? He said, well, there were a few questions. It was a little bit hard for me because I didn't know. We didn't go through those areas, you know. But in generally, I did fine. The rest, I knew everything. He said, so it's going to be a good result? You gave your answers? So he said, no, I didn't answer those that I knew. I didn't feel need to answer something that I know already. And the father was watching in confusion. He said, so what you did? He said, I just give paper back. A blank paper. And Srila Prabhupada is saying, this is actually how sometimes we perform our spiritual life. You know, that we doesn't know, we don't have still that seriousness and hunger to find out. But all those things that we know and we have to repeat and again, we don't feel need to do because we already know that. And this is where actually the tricky part starts. This is where we are losing the taste. This is where we are losing the faith. And we are going in opposite direction than that desired direction that we wanted to go when we start our spiritual journey. So we have really to be careful not to come to that level, not to come to that lethargy. Because actually this is, according to Srila Prabhupada, the most important part of spiritual life. This is the most important part of spiritual life, how to repeat the same things again and again. And then in one moment, we will come to the level of realized knowledge. And then with devotional service performing, in one moment we'll come to the level where Prabhupada Maharaj was, that our eyes will suddenly open and we could see Krishna everywhere. And Krishna can help us, and Krishna can protect us, and Krishna can give us all benefits. Now, one very important thing about Lord Nrisimhadev, because I see many devotees are standing in front of deity down and praying, and standing for a long time and praying for a long time. There is very important explanation Srila Prabhupada gave one time, that actually we should not pray Lord Nrisimhadev for any benedictions other than asking for protection. We can ask for protection for the spiritual life, we can ask for protection for a journey, we can ask protection for different kind of things, but we should not ask for any other benefits. We cannot stand in front of Lord Nrisimhadev, "Oh, please, Lord Nrisimhadev, I need a house. A nice house, it would be nice to be of yellow color, maybe 2 floors, 3. You know, no. That's offense. We should only ask Lord Nrisimhadev for protection. Prahlad Maharaj was never asking Krishna even for that. Prahlad Maharaj just had a firm belief and faith in Lord Krishna. So even when Hiranyakashipu was asking Prahlad Maharaj, "Is Lord in this pillar?" He didn't say, "Oh, please, please, Lord, come out from that pillar, otherwise he's going to kill me. Please, please, just come out, show him." No, he never didn't say that. He was just saying, yes, he is. He could see Krishna. He was already everywhere. He didn't have to ask Krishna, "Please come to save me." Krishna was already there. For Hiranyakashipu's eyes, Krishna was not there. So Krishna has to materialize to be able to believe. And then even he got the great benefit because, you know, Hiranyakashipu killed him. Krishna killed him, the Lord Nrisimhadev. But for Prahlad Maharaj, he had a great faith in that. There is even one more serious moment, because we can understand that Prahlad Maharaj didn't have fear of Hiranyakashipu. But Lord Nrisimhadev, after he got so angry, and they're saying that he was so angry at Hiranyakashipu that he didn't want to kill him on ordinary way. If you go through Krishna Lila, all other demons, he just kill on the regular way, you know, just either one stamp or boom, you know, certain fight few days, and then Hiranyakashipu, he want to wrap his body apart. Because he was doing such a harm to one pure devotee. Because he was angry. And they're saying, after he did it, after the whole body of Hiranyakashipu fell apart, he still was not getting peaceful. His angriness was still coming again and again and again. Nobody could pacify him. Demigods could not pacify him. They went to ask Mother Lakshmi, who was internally with Narayan. She was saying, "Oh no, he's too angry. I should not approach him this time. I'm sorry." And then Brahma, who is also a devotee of the Lord, very dear devotee in our universe, you know, he approached Prahlad Maharaj and he was asking, "So, boy, can you? Please. This is serious. He's very dangerous. You know, he can commit some, you know, he it's a very tough situation." Prahlad Maharaj didn't feel a fear. He didn't feel a fear. He's still in that angry face, in Ugra Narsimha face. He was saying his dear Lord. And he approached him and he gave him such a wonderful prayers. And again, he didn't ask, "Please, my dear Lord Nrisimhadev, cool down." No. His prayers were such a beautiful, such a perfect example of the way how we should present our prayers to the Lord. He was telling about the glories of the Lord. Because he knew one thing, that when the Lord is angry, it's not the same like when we are angry. You know, when we are angry, we lose our mind. Sometimes we yell, sometimes we break things, sometimes we just do some nonsense, you know. Angriness is the mode of ignorance in our life. But when Krishna is angry, this is a divine lila also. And although he's angry, if you remember, when the whole performance of killing Hiranyakashipu was going on, Nrisimhadev knew exactly in which time he should do that, in which place he should do that, how he should perform that, because of benefit that he got from Brahma, Hiranyakashipu. He knew exactly and he followed the whole thing. That means although that he was very angry, he was following the procedure perfectly to avoid any kind of trap and to make sure that Hiranyakashipu died right there on his lips. So, Prahlad Maharaj knew that, and that's why the way how perform prayers was fantastic and perfect. He was glorifying Lord Nisimhadev, and that's how Lord Nisimhadev became calm, and he was accepting the prayers, and he was very happy and pleased with the attitude of Prahlad Maharaj. That's why there is explanation that pure devotees of the Lord are even more dear to Krishna than some of the close followers. Because they develop more love to him, and through love they develop understanding. Now, for all those who believe that Narasimha Lila, it's happened like million years ago, and I had one chance, I was coming back from Greece to Serbia by bus, and next to me was the Christian Orthodox priest who was living in one monastery in Greece, and we had chance to speak like 5-6 hours. About religion. It was very nice and deep conversation, basically the whole night he was traveling. And I was telling him that Narasimha Lila, and I was asking him after, I was saying like 15-20 minutes about whole Narasimha Lila, I was asking him, what do you think about this? How you feel about it? And he was telling me, it's a very nice legend. Very interesting. We can learn from that, but I believe it's a legend. Well, a legend is something that we cannot prove. Legend is something that, you know, people are saying, you know, passing from generation to generation. But actually, Narasimha Lila, first of all, everything is written in the Vedas. That's one proof. Everything is written in the Vedas from the great sages. And we know that sages are not those who make up the stories. The sages are those who are telling the stories exactly way how they hear from the previous sages. That's two, but the third proof is actually there is the place where the whole Lila happened. And how many of you been to Ahovalam? Can you please raise up your hands? So all those who been to Ahovalam, did you feel that energy there? You can really feel Lord Narasimhadev over there. You can feel that everything happened. Ahovalam is still even today a very, very interesting place, a very dangerous place, full of energy. But this is the place where everything happened. There is the remaining of the pillar even, where Lord Nisimhadev came out. There is some of the ruins remaining of the school where Prahlad Maharaj was going, Sanskrit school, where he was going attending that time. This is all close to the Jvala Nisimha, one of the 9 presiding deities over there. Even the energy in the air, you can feel that something is really special happened there. Over it happened millions of years ago still. That place, you can still feel a very powerful and kind of dangerous energy. So everything what we read, it should not be just on the level of Shraddha. We should not just believe and feel that maybe some Lila is true or some Lila happened. We should have a firm faith, but we should realize that everything is the truth and everything is happened with a reason. And one part of that reason why everything is happened is us and our spiritual life, to teach us and to train us to become a better devotee of Krishna and to develop love for Krishna and ultimately to go back to the spiritual world. So that much I prepare for today. Thank you very much. Shri Nisimhadev Bhagavan ki jai, Prahlad Maharaj ki jai. Gaura Pramanande Hari Hari Bol. If we have any question or comment, okay, we have questions. Yes, please.
Hare Krishna. Prabhu, Krishna. I didn't quite understand the bit about the blank paper.
Sorry, can you just repeat a little bit?
I didn't understand the bit about the blank paper.
The way?
Blank paper.
About the blank paper, the test. Well, he was telling his father, most probably he didn't know much, or you know, in any case, he was telling his father that those questions that he didn't understood, that he didn't knew, that he didn't answer those questions, and those questions that he knew, again, he didn't answer anything because he already know that. He doesn't have to answer. This was his explanation to his father. I mean, it was very childish explanation. You know, but we also hear from devotees sometime, why are you not chanting, didn't chant today 16 rounds? Devotee will say, well, I chanted yesterday, the day before, and 25 years all the time. I have time for break a little bit, you know, or why didn't read today, which is even more common, you know? Because I read 6 times Srimad Bhagavatam, 11 times Gita, 7 times Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, you know, I already know everything there. But the whole point is that it doesn't matter if we know, we don't know. I mean, those are not regular books. They are very special books, and we need to read them again and again and again. Because every time they bring another dimension, and every time they bring another purity, and every time they bring another wisdom, which is very important for us and for our spiritual life. So that's why we have to perform regularly. You know, we promise to read 1 hour per day. We have to fulfill that. At least I promise to my spiritual master, and I'm trying my best to fulfill that. You know. So that was Srila Prabhupada's point. We have just...
Hare Krishna. Hare
Krishna. Yes, Mataji.
When Hiranyakashipu is personally knows the Vedic rites and the activities of the Vedas, and he also performs the austerity for many thousands of years, so why he has to challenge for the Hiranyakashipu's death to drink the milk, blood of Lord Vishnu? Because it is, it seems to be a little foolishness of his mentality.
Yeah.
Because the authority he is taking one side and the Vedic right, everything he is knowing, then why he has to challenge for it?
You see, the austerities, they are there for different reasons. I mean, even today you can see some of the very powerful people around the world, they're performing many big austerities just to gain more power and more money and more prestige. You have, for example, a granddaughter of Prahlad Maharaj, Bali Maharaj. You remember his story. Shukracharya, his spiritual master, was actually Smarta Brahman. And he was advising, because Smarta Brahmanas, they perform all different kind of yagas, they have a knowledge, but they, you know, they're helping you to be successful in the life. Not just a spiritual life, but any different levels of the life. And when the Lord came, and just with 3 steps want to take everything, Shukracharya, he could understand the whole thing, and he was advising Bali Maharaj, oh, don't give him a charity. Please, I knew he is the Lord. He's going to take you everything just with 2 steps. And he asked for 3. It's a dangerous thing to do. He didn't just think about Bali Maharaj. There is explanation that he was thinking about himself also. Shukracharya had a very big family that time. And he was getting a very generous donations from Bali Maharaj. And the whole family was depending on those donations. So he knew, if Bali Maharaj falls down, the whole support of his family system is coming down also. This is, according to Srila Prabhupada, the smart brahmana's way of thinking and performing. It's not pure. All the knowledge is pure. The motivation is not pure. So Hiranyakashipu's motivation to perform tapasya also was not pure. He was just doing for that particular reason tapasya. You know, and we know many great sages, many great yogis who are performing tapasya in different times for different kind of benefits. Sometimes they are great and glorious benefits. Sometimes they are not so great. That's why Srila Prabhupada said, devotee doesn't need a mystical power. Devotees doesn't need, because mystical powers, they always bring kind of false ego with that together also. Yeah. Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you for a wonderful narration of Lord Nishnadeva's pastimes. My question is, you mentioned, and as we've, you know, many of us heard, that Srila Prabhupada said one should not pray to Lord Nrisimhadev for personal benedictions.
We should not.
Huh?
We should not pray.
We should not.
Yeah.
So, for example, is it recommended then that one doesn't recite the Nrisimha Kavacha? Because Nara mentions, O Lord Nrisimhadev, please protect my you know, my hands, my face, different parts of the body.
Yes.
What is your opinion?
No, I mentioned that actually we should pray for protection. We can pray for protection of us, for somebody else. We can pray for protection of the all devotees in general. You know, we can. There is explanation that we can ask, for example, for protection of our devotional service, for protection of different kind of protections. You know, that includes also, you know, the face, the body, also when applied tilak and everything. The point is just we should not ask for any material benefits. We should not ask to receive something or to, I don't know, please, I'm not married, give me a nice wife. You know, I want some devotional wife, so this is spiritual kind of thing. Help me with that. Those kind of benefits we don't ask Lord Nisimhadev. You know, we just ask for protection. Because he is not in the mood of Narayan, actually. He is in the mood of Narsimhadev. And although our, you know, there is Prahlad Maharaj also there on the altar, still, you know, with Narsimhadev, we have to be very careful. Same like there is the whole explanations how we should worship the Shalagram Shilas, especially Narsimha Shilas. There are all different kind of things we need to know before we approach to the Lord. It's the whole scientific way how to do that. But yes, protections or different kind of protections are more than welcome. Yeah, yeah. Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Jai.
Who has the microphone? Yeah.
Thank you, Prabhu. Very nice class, Vaikuntha Nithai Prabhu. My question is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead had caused great pain when he killed Hiranyakashipu.
Yes.
And it has even described that he is so ferocious that he wears a garland of intestines around his neck.
Yes.
And then it even describes how that he's licking his lips, his mane is, because when he's ripping out the intestines of Hiranyakashipu, blood got splattered in his mane.
Yeah.
And he's even licking his mane, the blood.
Yeah.
Along his mouth. Yeah.
Around his mouth. So my question is, how can the Supreme Personality of God actually like enjoy killing his pure devotee? Like, because I mean, I guess you could say that they were, because they are, because it says in Bhagavad Gita, once you attain that supreme abode, you never fall down again. And then Prabhupada says that, you know, it's just for lila purposes. But then again, you hear in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto how when Keshi demon came, Krishna put his fist inside the Keshi demon's throat.
Yeah.
And he felt it to be like a hard iron rod. And his teeth started to fall out. And he gave up his body in great pain. And even Aristasura, it's described that he, this is when Krishna killed Aristasura, is that once he wrenched Aristasura's horns out, then Aristasura gave up his body in great pain, passing stool and urine. So my question is, like, how can Krishna enjoy the suffering of
all merciful Lord? How he can, you know,
if he's all merciful, how can he enjoy the suffering of, you know?
Yeah. I can.
Why wouldn't it just be like,
Quick death.
Quick death instead of, it's described, you know, how Aristasura was on the ground, kind of like,
I know. He was suffering a lot. Suffering. I can tell something through some, how I understood, you know, I hear few explanations about that. I was a little bit reading before, and I definitely don't know much about the topic, but what I know, for example, in Narsimhalila, Narsimhadev was the same Narayan, actually, there was the same Vishnu from the spiritual world. There was no different person. And also, Prahlad Maharaj, Hiranyakashipu, was the same, the gatekeeper there. You know, there was Jaya and Jaya, and they were very close and very dear to Vishnu. The same personalities. just in different kind of lila. There is explanation actually that when Krishna is killing, he's showing a special mercy. And although from the outside it looks like a very cruel and very painful thing, all those demons, they get a lot of purification, a lot of benedictions just by that performance by Krishna. In particular, in Narasimha Lila, there is explanation that Lord Narasimhadev wanted to show how much a pure devotees of him dear to him. And I heard one explanation that actually, at the same time, you know, Hiranyakashipu was feeling the pain, but at the same time he was feeling the pleasure. You know, because
the pleasure while he was
the pleasure
dying.
Of being getting a special mercy of the Lord. You know, he didn't feel, of course, the pleasure in material level, but he felt a pleasure in the spiritual level. Because ultimately, you should know that they voluntarily came down from there after they got cursed, just to perform, you know, three different lilas with the Lord. And it's not that they were killed by somebody; they were killed by Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. So. This much I know and this much I understand. If somebody can clarify it more from the senior Vaishnavas, we can ask them to do so. But as I know, the reason why he's performing is just to show that actually he's always protecting devotees and defending them. And he's always on their side. And that everybody is in his lilas, everybody is getting a benefit.
Okay. I just want to make one comment, and that is that what I like about this story about Jai and Vijay falling into the material world and getting positions of utmost power and you know, control over the universe is that ultimately they had a lila, they were killed by the Supreme Lord, again they took birth as Ravana Kumbhakarna and then Dandavakra and Shishupal.
Yeah.
But at the end, so at first they were the gatekeepers of Vaikuntha.
Yes.
And Vaikuntha is like, it says one name of Narayan is equal to 1,000 names of Ram, and one name of Ram is equal to 1,000 name of Krishna.
Yeah.
And then it also says that the supreme planet of Mayapur is divided into two. Half of that planet is the Golok Vrindavan, and half the planet is Mayapur. So what I like, this is kind of something that I really like to think about, is that even though they had to suffer so much, being killed again three times, you know,
yeah,
that they went from Vaikuntha, if you consider in terms of like the chanting the names of Narayan versus chanting the names of Krishna or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's 3,000 times better. So yeah. they were the gatekeepers of Vaikuntha, and they attained the gatekeepers of Panchatattva, you know?
Yep.
Well,
after they finish their lilas, they go back to continue their service of gatekeepers of Vaikuntha. So this
no,
is their.
If they're in the lila of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that means they would have attained the lila of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Yeah. Well, you see, the point is that Jaya and Vijaya, you know, their internal service is that they are gatekeepers of the Lord. So the point is that actually the reason why they accept three lives as a demons instead of six lives as devotees is because they wanted to go back as soon as possible to the spiritual world. Can we just ask Mataji?
Yeah, no problem. If someone has another question, please take.
Yeah. We have to finish now. It's already time, 9:10.
Thank you very much. If you remember, or I've actually read that Jay and Vijay were also wanted to help the Lord, that the Lord has the desire to fight.
Yeah.
So that was even previously, that they wanted to satisfy the Lord's desire. And the answer for his question regarding him being in Goloka also, So a pure devotee of the Lord simultaneously can be in many places, just like the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just to please the Lord and serve Him. Simultaneously, just like Prahlad Maharaj, he is wherever Lord Nrisimha Devi is.
Yeah.
And I wanted to thank you for your class expanding that from Shraddha comes Sadhu Sangha, Shraddha, Sangha, and Seva.
Yeah.
So that's a really nice explanation. And my final question was, how would you see, as Srila Prabhupada mentions again and again in the Bhagavatam, that you can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the pages of Bhagavatam. So I would love to hear your...
How you can see the...
The Supreme Lord in the pages of Bhagavatam face to face. Srila Prabhupada mentions that many times.
Well, even Srila Prabhupada mentioned that he is not different than his books. You know, even if we want to have association of Srila Prabhupada as a Senapati devotee, as our founder Acharya, we can have it any time we want. We just open the books and personality is there. It's not just that the book is there. The personality is there. And what to speak about the person that he glorifies in his books, the Lord Krishna. And Lord Krishna even personally mentioned, you see, there is that story. I just quick and we go. Srila Prabhupada said one time a story about one very poor Brahmana who didn't have anything. And he went for some, there was some seminar, and they explained in one of those seminars, in one of those days of seminar, that actually you can perform even yagya in his mind. You know, so he didn't have any money, any paisa. He could not buy any fruits to offer to the Lord, and then he just sit and start making the beautiful temple, inside of the beautiful temple, the great throne for the Lord. On the throne, the Krishna was residing there. He was giving him a lot of opulence, a lot of things, and then after finishing everything, he wanted to offer Lord he wanted to offer the sweet rice to the Lord. And he was cooking a sweet rice for the Lord, but actually there is an explanation that sweet rice you cannot offer hot. It has to be cold, or at least warm. No hot is not healthy. So he was touching a sweet rice with his finger to check whether it's hot or not, and it was very hot, so he burned his finger. Of course, he finished everything he offered to the Lord. The Lord was very pleased, but when he opened his eyes, his finger was very much burned. It was there. All marks was there. So then he figured out that actually he was really there. He was with the Lord face to face. And just because he was so deep in his meditation, the Lord just showed up his beautiful figure. So we can do the same thing with the Shastras. If we read those great, beautiful Leelas, if we go deeper into that, not just, okay, let me read this 1 hour, starting now. 7 minutes more, 3 minutes more, that's it. No, we should go very deep. We should research. We should go deeper. And then in one moment, we can have a presence of the Lord. Many times, Srila Prabhupada mentioned, there was a class, there was Narada Muni there was Brahma, there was, you know, you didn't saw them? It's like, because he had eyes to see them. So gradually, eyes will open. But they're there. Krishna is there, you know, so we can see. Okay, thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Pramanande, Hari Hari Bhagavatam.